direct awareness and understanding of one object, just one, different from when there is no sati and sampajanya, because there are so many one all the time, but no one is the object of sati now, right?
Mm. Yes.
Not tirasanya yet.
Yes. So tirasanya implies or is patipati?
Moment of sati sampajanya.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So proximate cause. When I read proximate cause in English, I'm thinking first have tirasanya and then have sati, but it's, or then have satipatthana, but not, it is satipatthana, is it?
It must be okay. That moment which is different from the just study and okay. Know, yes. But not direct understanding of the characteristic which appears as it
okay.
Is.
Okay, so it's not pariyatti, it's actually patipati.
Three levels, yeah. Mm-hmm. That's why we see the difference between pariyatti. Mm-hmm. As long as it's not the moment of being understanding with awareness directly to an object. It's not satipatthana, it's not sati sampajanya, it's not patipatti.
Okay.
And think about the first time you begin to hear the teachings.
Mm.
It's not well versed in the Buddha's words yet. Mm.
Yes.
Until everything is conformed with the others. Anicchang, dukkhang, anatta.
Mm-hmm.
Now, see, it means that whatever appears now has arisen and fallen away completely. Actually, that which has fallen cannot arise again at all. So we live in ignorance, on ignorance. Everything is so dark that so many things has risen and fallen away unknown all the time. The whole life.
Yeah, yeah.
The whole life, see?
Usually.
So we understand the difference between pariyatti and patipatti and pativeda. Pativeda is what Buddha taught from his direct experience.
Mm-hmm.
Each word can be directly understood with direct awareness. But the first time is not like the now, many, many times, uncountable times from hearing the teachings. So the moment of being aware is conditioned by pariyatti, but it's so weak. Like when we begin to study the teachings, so much to know, because so very deep. So the first moment is different from the other moment. And while there's no sati sampajanya more and more, it means that what are there in between? Akusala and many things. So there is the word begin again, 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 again.
What's the Pali for that?
Pardon?
What is the Pali for begin again?
I have to ask Kun Kampan.
So, until the pariyatti is rather established, there's not going to be tirasanya.
Right.
Is that correct?
It means that the moment when sati arises, what is the proximate cause? Tirasanya.
And what is the proximate cause? What is the cause for tirasanya, the pariyatti?
Now, see? Mm-hmm. All are dhammas.
Mm-hmm.
And one can see the difference between the panya, which is pativeda. It must be different from the moment when satipatthana begins to arise.
Mm-hmm.
Uncountable. Because the word which Buddha said, all dhammas are anatta, means they arise and fall away. But only one can be object of understanding, one at a time. When they are together, it's not clear at all. Like now, we don't know whether it is citta or cittasika or patsa or manasikara, see. But when it's just one, it begins to understand beyond words. We don't have to say anything at all because we have heard a lot about everything, but they are in darkness. But when sati is there, it's not dark. But it's not like pativeda. It takes long time.
So is nama rupa parichidanyana, is that pativeda?
Pativeda.
It is.
With our sati sampajanya has developed to that degree, they cannot be object of panya, even right now, ready to be object of that level of panya, but not from hearing and studying only and thinking. Imagine when just one object is there, no other rupa and nama at all, only one. Is the world dark? And nothing except that, how clear to know by direct experience. It's beyond the word, but what we have heard is there, exactly the same. That which just experience, it just know that object, no one, nothing at all, no world. Because actually when we talk about the plane of existence, like heaven and human being planes, actually it's just the time when citta and cittasika arise more. When it's hell, pain arises more. When it's heaven, pleasant object are there, ready to be object. And this we call hell or heaven. But actually, the moment when citta arises and falls away, no place. But since that type of citta arises more often to experience such pleasant or unpleasant, so we call that as hell or heaven or human being plane. Only that, but actually there's nothing. To experience of nothingness, even citta is there. The first jhana, it's not as clear as the higher jhana.
Right.
Even it arises and falls away, but panya is not ready to understand that. Just to understand that characteristic which cannot be taken for self at all. Only that. And this is the first, and how many to work on, work out to know the truth. And this is for detachment, not for attachment. And it has to be daily life, because people just think about the book, the story of citta and cittasika, how many cittasika with this moment of seeing or lopa mula citta. But what about now? All parami must be daily life. Because we can talk about the 10 parami, but what about that which arises in the day, each day? Even sila, akusala sila, kusala sila, apayagata sila. No one at all. Not many people have heard about the word akusala sila and apayagata sila. They just think about kusala sila. From not understanding, it can condition attachment to be or to have sila for self.
So akusala sila doesn't mean doing something bad, it just means attachment to the
We have to sila? Understand what's the meaning of sila, what's the truth of sila. This cannot have any sila,
right.
It cannot experience anything. But that which can experience cittas and cittasikas. So whenever akusala cittasika arises with citta, at that moment, citta and cittasika, the way it is, the nature of it, the natural way of citta and cittasika, not rupa, when we talk about sila. So it's the behavior of citta and cittasika, because it arises and it experiences. That is the way it works, behave to that object which appears, to like it or dislike it or understanding it, see, until it cannot be kusala and akusala behavior or sila anymore. So the way it have to behave, because it's there, is apayagata sila for arata. That's why we have to study carefully, because each word means many, many truths of reality. by different manners and different ways. For now, see what kind of sila? It's not known. It's gone completely. Until just one object appear to sati sampajanya, not anyone at all, no one there. The truth is that no one there, only right understanding and sati, which can understand that which appears as it is, as nobody, no one, and nothing when it's gone. But the first jhana experiences many nama and rupa, not only nama and not only rupa, but not be able to experience with understanding of the distinction between the moments of different objects, because it has to be that which can penetrate the truth of arising and falling away. The first jhana does not experience the arising and falling away. Even it's there, see. Not like what one has experienced before. Otherwise it cannot be but the Veda. This is why when Buddha had enlightened, the idea of is so deep and subtle. So people take that as he has no energy or will to teach, but actually because of the depth, the subtlety of Dhamma. Even he, after he's enlightened, said that. So what about us? Study with respect, great respect to each word. Otherwise one take it as very easy, very simple. It cannot be like that at all. Just daily life, detached, just a little bit, or not. Like before, see, wake up, everything goes on until time to sleep. So life is only sleep and wake up.
And play.
And gone, everything, gone, yeah. Unknown. But from conditions, by conditions, there are moments of listening to the teachings respectfully. To know that it's a self who think and who try to know this and that. Tricky.
So it's tricky. It's the condition for these experiences of understanding that you've mentioned are the teachings. So one has to listen, one has to read, one has to study, one has to contemplate. And yet, because it's such a fine line, one can easily attach and just study in a wrong way, yeah. As well.
And that Panya has to know. Yes. Otherwise one's stuck. Just understanding only as much as one have time. So thus we have time. Do we have time? Yes, we do. Depending on conditions. Yeah. Not me. See, so it's quite so very courageous and brave to know that no one can do, only conditions, listening, understanding, more or less by conditions, that is panya. And knowing this, it will condition more time for study or do good parami in daily life.
Why does it condition more time if it's just
because
conditions?
Because one see that at the moment, without understanding, is useless. We take that which is gone, like holding something in your hand, but when you open up, nothing. So the best reality is panya.
You spoke about the first nama-rupa paricchedanyana, when this knowledge of the difference between nama and rupa, but that's very, very deep understanding, because to get to that, I mean, at the moment, there's no knowing nama from rupa from, well, I guess I know seeing from hearing, but Not really, I mean.
Because it's you. Like now, it's hard. If we haven't heard before about it, just arise, otherwise it cannot appear. Mm. And as soon as it has arisen, it falls away immediately. Unknown. It's there all the time, partners. It means that we haven't experienced directly the truth of it at all. That's why Ariya Satya, Dhamma, which is absolutely true, but it is Ariya for those who have directly experienced it.
Mm.
It is only Dhamma, and it's Ariya Satya, and it's Satya, it arises and falls away all the time. But it is Ariya Satya for those who have directly experienced.
You mean directly experience the arising,
the truth, the four truth, four noble truth.
It's hard to even imagine that this falls away. That it's
okay.
It just seems like it's very lasting.
Surrounded by avicca, so dark.
Actually, I was in Vietnam a couple of days ago. And I met with two of the Vietnamese girls in Hanoi, and we actually discussed about table, how the table looks, and seems like it's solid. And I said, actually, it disappears instantly. Yeah, but so they were interested in that. Yes, the kalapas and so on.
That's right. There is the word sunyata. Means the same as anatta.
Sunyata.
Nothing.
I think that's actually taken mistakenly by some people in that they say, well, this sunyata means that everything is void. It doesn't even... There's been comments about some of the people on the net who are supposedly misleading people by saying that this is a reality. Hardness is a reality.
Void of self.
Void of self. But some people are saying, no, it's void of anything. It doesn't even have a characteristic.
They deny reality. So
when it's gone. When it's gone.
No, it seems like they, I don't know, because I'm not them. They just say that by saying it's a reality is misleading.
Why? Is it not real?
I believe it's real, yes.
So how can that person say like that?
Well, it's their belief.
So it's his or her belief, not the Buddha's word?
Yes.
While I mentioned Vietnam, Hai and Tuan wanted to give my regards to you.
Okay.
Yeah. They're very keen on Abhidhamma.
There's also been some comments about the commentaries. Somebody has said that it's incorrect to call on the commentaries and later editions of the suttas. One person was saying that it's only the original suttas that are the should be read, and then everything else comes after.
How can you tell which are the original and which are the older ones?
I don't know.
It's easy, Betty. The original ones are the ones that agree with what they think.
Oh.
And the later ones are the ones that disagree with what they think.
Thank you.
It's easy. Going back to Kaya Vinyati, that Azita brought up, is any movement at all, any physical movement that someone makes, is Kaya Vinyati present?
Otherwise, the hardness cannot be such quality without the vinyati.
Okay. Because going back in, you know, years ago, I think we used to say that kaya vinyata was when we want to express it to someone. So if we wave or...
That is easy to know.
That's only the more obvious.
Yeah.
But even when we just...
Certainly.
Not the, thinking we do
the
something.
The quality of the Mahaputu Rupa is different when there's no Vikara Rupa and the Vinyati Rupa. Actually, the Vinyati. Because now, when you move, what can appear? Okay, like this. Yeah. What can appear? See?
Yeah.
Really? See? What is hard to know? We have to understand that.
Yes. So that's sure. Any movement we make, any physical movement.
That's right. Even
Vinyati is present.
Even in the Tipitaka or the commentary, they just talk about that which can be known easily.
Okay.
And then later modify.
That's true.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like the famous sutta.
So don't just be stuck at that.
Okay. No, I just wanted to clarify this point. It's a minor point, but it's...
When we understand the characteristic of vikara, because without the Mahaputa Rupa, there cannot be vikara.
Right.
But when it's only Mahaputa Rupa without vikara, it's like the dead body, see. So when it's not dead yet, even right now, the vikara rupa is conditioned by ahara or by utu.
Yes.
But the kaya vinyati and vachi vinyati has only condition, citta.
Yes.
So when the hardness and softness appear, can the vikara or the vinyati be known? What can be known must be the characteristic of Mahaputa Rupa.
Yes.
Except the cohesion.
Yes.
So we have to know that when Panya is more than that, it can know the difference between Mahaputa Rupa without Kaya Vinyata, Vachi Vinyata, and that with Kaya Vinyata.
Okay.
And Vikara Rupa too. So it has to go on by having the understanding of the difference between the rupa, that Mahaputa Rupa itself is not the Vikara Rupa and the Vinyati. But without Mahaputa Rupa, there cannot be Kaya Vinyati, Vachi Vinyati or Vikara Rupa. So what can be known in the beginning is hardness, softness and the three Mahaputa Rupas. So... think about it. Only thinking.
Well,
only
yes,
thinking.
It has
got thinking. That it's there. It's there.
And it's very, very... it's very deep. And I was thinking through the week of how deep can it really get? You get through...
Moment of experience, no doubt.
No doubt.
You cannot select what can be known or should be known at all. It's there by conditions. Even breath, don't think that, I'd like to try to have it as object, or I shouldn't, because it's so very fine and very deep. But that is the self.
Mm.
But when it's not self, and there are conditions to experience whatever, it's there. And don't be excited, because it's lopa again, attachment again, all the way. That's why there are also vipassanupa kilesa. It can follow on and on.
What was that one?
Vipassanupa.
But they come after Namarupa Parichitta. I'll be happy to have vipassana kilesa, because at least that would mean the experience of Namarupa Parichitta had occurred. Right?
But kilesa is there, ready to arise.
To come even after. Mm-hmm. Seen the difference,
right? So Panya is so great, very deep. Otherwise it cannot letting go the idea of self and attachment to wrong view. Have you heard about the moment when Asava arises? Because we don't talk much about Asava. But if one knows, no one can keep away from it. Because there are conditions for it to arise. Seeing has fallen away, and then sampatichana fallen away, santirana fallen away, manotuvara vachana And then three moments, sabbaticchana santira navodhana, asava is there. Can you know? Three moments after seeing.
You mean before the javana process?
It has to be javana.
Oh, it's javana.
Because sabbaticchana santira navodhana are not javana.
Yes.
But only three moments different jittas have fallen away. It's there. By condition, unknown. So anusayana, as nusaya does not arise, but asava arises by condition. So soon, after three moments from seeing, hearing, smelling, tasting.
Why doesn't anusaya arise at that time too?
Flow.
The latent.
Okay.
The asava, the latent.
Okay. Because it's there, ready, like the resin, the when you cut the tonyang, rubber tree, it's there, even just a little bit, ready to come out, to arise, unknown. So another word for arahata is kina sova. Kina is that, extinguish. And asava never arise after seeing, hearing, smelling, tasting, touching, or any time.
Kind of takes a lot of courage sometimes to hear the Dharma like this, because it's so deep that it's almost, you think, wow, it's just so deep.
Give you time to live on and on until it's ready to experience. Just go on by conditions. Not different from daily life at all.
Yeah.
This is how much more difficult. If you are told to do, it's easy to do.
Yeah.
But you cannot do, no one can do at all. And this is where to have less attachment and expectation. No expectation, impossible to expect to experience that. It depends completely on conditions. And now, each moment is so very precious because it will lead to more and more to understand and letting go. Akusala, avicca, and the idea of self.
With respect, Thanachan, we all come here to listen to Thanachan, and one thing that we really appreciate to have is Panya. So Thanachan always say that, always teach us about it's Dhamma, it's not self. So by understand Dhamma and not self, Panya is still cannot improve or cannot really know about it. So I would like to ask about how Panya be able to understand all those things, and how it developed to be to be known as Panya, to be Panya.
Is there like. How?
How?
Is there how?
No harm. By understanding, yes. Mm-hmm. But there are something that you just said that by understanding, and it had to depend on the condition.
It's moment, not condition, to understand. It's this moment, not condition, to understand.
This moment, not... Yeah, it's, this moment is not... No condition to understand.
This moment is a condition for understanding, for future understanding. It's
accumulating. I see.
Yeah.
I think.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. So by listening, have more this moment, the Panya can...
No expectation.
No
because
expectation.
Understanding understands.
Also thinking deeply, pichārana, about what we study. But again, that's by conditions. You can't just say, okay, 5 o'clock today, we're going to pichārana. It just doesn't work that way. It doesn't work that way. It's by conditions. A thought arises in the mind, whatever arises, to think deeply, to pichārana about a particular aspect or a particular teaching or particular thing that was said or whatever about the Dhamma. And in the process of thinking deeply, this leads to the conditions that will need to be present when understanding arises.
It's a process, you mean?
Yeah.
It happens so rarely that it's... you need patience and everything like that. And just... Because if we start to say, I never get any understanding, I don't know what I'm going to do. You know, if we start thinking like that,
yeah.
Then...
At the moment, we are full of unknown. We don't know anything.
Yeah.
We unknown, we have moha.
Yeah.
Right? So, by listening this, to get rid of unknown...
Well, it helps to develop the condition. So that at some point understanding will arise.
Ajahn, I've written, it is not possible to control jhavana jittas, but knowing the conditions for kusala may help to have fewer agusala jittas. Can you talk to that?
About what?
Azita's saying that if you know the conditions, there'll be less akusala. Is that right?
But knowing the conditions for kusala may help to have fewer akusala jittas. Does that necessarily happen?
If not, if there is no listening and understanding at all?
Well, there'd have to be understanding. It's not possible to control jhavana jittas, but knowing the conditions for kusala may help to have fewer akusala jittas.
Because Banya knows what's right and what's wrong.
Right. So Banya knows the conditions for kusala. Yes. Well, it's
Maybe studying or considering Dharma interrupts briefly the flow of the anusaya very briefly for a few moments now and then.
Yeah, but still, is the expectation?
No, it's just an observation. Yeah.
Just understand that's all and leave it to conditions, whatever arises. We can see the difference between understanding and ignorance. The same word. What about what follows? Right considering or not understanding anything at all? But why do one study? Why does one study? And why do we study? Listen, why, what for?
Break out of samsara one day?
Just to understand. Even for have no samsara anymore, it's still expectation. Only Panya can know. No one is wise to Lopa. Only Panya.
No one is wiser than Lopa?
No.
Is the Lopa now, see? Only Panya knows.
All we have to do is just listen, just make understanding. Only understanding. Understand what we heard. That's all we have to do.
But still, there can be lopa.
Still can be lopa.
When there's no understanding, the reality which appears, the I is there, the self is there.
So, some people, probably me too, would think, you know, sometimes the understanding is not coming, so why not do some dana, be a little bit strict on sila, and at least getting a bit of parami, but that's just self, right?
What is wise to lopa?
Panya.
Thinking like that is not wise at all.
I see.
If you don't understand, that means that it includes everything. It includes sila, includes everything. Is that right, Thanachan? If we understand,
no expectation.
Dhamma, no expectation. Yeah. Yes, that's right. So we don't have to talk about sin. Don't have to talk about anything.
Just to understand.
Ajahn, is there a difference between reading and listening, like when it comes to Dharma? I've heard some people make a distinction. Is there, like, say I'm reading a transcript of this and I'm reading what you said. Is there any difference between hearing it, say on the tape, and reading it at all? Or is it both just conditions for possibly understanding to arise, would you say?
Okay. It's reading and then thinking.
Yes.
Listening and then thinking.
Yeah. Yeah. Seems to me more or less the same. I can't see why there'd be a difference.
Because you see that while one is reading,
yes,
it seems like we are thinking of the word,
yes,
that we read.
Yes.
So it's like hearing.
Yes.
That's, no matter that's, it's, yeah, reading or
that's
hearing.
That's exactly how, yeah, it seems to me, yeah. No, but it's just because in the Tipitaka it says hearing Dharma, it doesn't say reading Dharma, so some people say it should be the hearing is necessary, not so much the reading. It's just a point, yeah. But I can't see the difference.
But if it, in the wide sense, seeing and hearing,
yes,
at moment of reading this,
yeah, it's like hearing, yeah,
like hearing Sujin,
yes, yes,
Rihan Vanaki,
yes, yes,
because it's seeing, yes, but I think of the sound.
Yes, yes, it's like children when they're learning to read, they read it aloud, don't they? And later we just read it by thinking, yeah, yeah.
Actually, when I am doing study, I am saying it aloud. Well, not aloud so everybody hears, but I actually have to mouth. I have to read it and say the words quietly for it to really... But then that's probably just me. But I, if it's just reading, it doesn't seem to work as well as if I read it aloud.
As you comment about that, listening and the, what would you call reading?
Yes.
When you're reading Tripitaka and a comment, and how do you understand that? You're just thinking by yourself. But another way, when we listen like a professional, all that, and we can understand more about that. I don't know how to compare about that. Sometimes I understand a chant. Listen to Ajahn, and I go back to read,
yes,
and then I'm listening again. It's more thinking, deeper. It's different. But if I read only by myself, I just go through that, but I don't understand that.
So,
if you're reading the exact same transcript, if you're reading what Ajahn said, someone wrote it out, typed it out, and you're reading exactly what
even that, yes, then the Ajahn says the same word, but another, or what you call instructor, said the same thing. It's different. I don't know why. But it depends. I try to understand myself. It's just how I can concentrate understanding.
Depends on conditions. One reinforces,
right,
the other. So if you listen and then you read it, it doesn't matter. It reinforces each other. Some people might be able to read and then listen and then it's better.
No,
or some people listen and then read, and, you know.
I try to let the theta like a more consideration in Sankharaka when we listen a chant and we discuss together something like this.
Maybe
it depends on conditions for the person.
It's like my thinking. In Pali we use a yoniso manasikara. Or in a like a some word, only one word to explain the phenomena or what you call in Thai we talk about the om tam. It's like a sapawa or characteristic of the Dhamma. In each word, and like you talk about the Gaya Vijayate, what it is. And Ajahn tried to explain about the moving body or something like that. And it's not just only the Erupa, It's just a vikarupa. It's a living, so living, living things can do that.
Mm-hmm.
Like shita, or something like this.
Yes.
But we just read kaya vinyati. What? Kaya vinyati is just a rupa. Oh yeah, okay. And what it is? And you ask the question about how to make the meaning of that.
Mm-hmm.
And what is the difference? And ask about what is sitting is different from the moving about. The point is now that what you know about that. And when you Ajahn talk about you knowing about that, it means now, when you're moving or you sit or you hard and cold. And that's the understanding of thinking about
it. So the point you're making is that, yes, we can read it, but then Ajahn is reminding us that that thing is happening right now.
Yes, yes.
I get it, yeah.
So it's a reinforcement.
And we have a question from someone who listening to our discussion from YouTube, from Will. And he said that this question should be addressed. And the question is, if the mind is nama and not rupa, then what is the purpose of the brain, given that the brain is made up of matter, rupa?
Shall I try that?
Who's a medical person?
I'm slightly... know a little bit about science. Just for the background for the listeners, since we're live, I have a PhD in science education. So I've studied science a little bit. We know, according to the Dharma, that we have a heart base, right? So the mind as such can arise at the heart base. So how does that conflict, or how does it agree with science? Science says it's all happening in the brain. So which one is right and which one is wrong? I'm going to side with Dharma and say that yes, it can arise at the heart base. And the Visuddhimagga explains it that the heart base isn't the heart, it's not the physical heart, but the heart base is a very tiny rupa, if you like, that arises dependent on the blood in the heart, and it's extremely extremely tiny, and science will never be able to identify it. However, it's also arising and passing away instantly, like all rupas. So people ask things like, but if that's true, why can you do a heart transplant? And how does this happen? Well, rupa is arising and passing away, so it doesn't really matter. If the conditions are there, heart transplants are no problem. So what is the brain doing in that case? Well, the way I like the analogy I would give is like a computer. We know in a computer, the chip is where the heart of the matter is, right? That's where things are really happening, that special little chip. However, there's lots of wires in a computer, many, many complicated wires. If you pull out some of those wires, suddenly the computer doesn't work. And in the same way, if a bullet goes into the brain, the heart's going to stop too, the body will stop. So I don't see any issue at all with Dharma saying it's the heart that's where citta can arise. So... I think science is on the wrong track, putting so much emphasis on the brain. Obviously the brain is important, it's like the wiring, if you like, but yeah, the Dharma is correct about the heart, in my opinion.
But don't forget, your brain is a panyati, so it's...
Yeah, but even the rupas that make up what we call a brain, it's still at the heart base that it must be arising. And why do I say that? Simply because...
Yeah, but not all jittas are arising at the heart base.
No, the seeing is not arising at the heart base.
All
it arises
the,
at
the sense,
eye base.
Right.
And another question I got on this matter then, on this issue was, I read a scientific book, you know, part of my studies as a PhD student, and this professor who's specializes in consciousness, he's a famous philosopher of consciousness.
What's
his name? I forget his name now, sorry. But anyway, he said... Like, it feels like when you hurt your toe, that the consciousness is arising at the toe. And he said, no, but we know that's not true. It's arising at the brain, because the brain is where everything happens. In fact, according to Dharma, the consciousness is arising, the pain is arising, just where it feels like it's arising, because body consciousness can arise anywhere on the body. So, so science has got a long way to go, I'm afraid, when it comes to understanding mind and such like, in my opinion.
I just don't think science will ever understand rupas and namas. Science will never, ever.
Maybe more.
That's the Buddha realm. It's the Dhamma. The Dhamma and science are vastly different to each other. Completely different.
I've always been intrigued. Like, if people study Dhamma, Buddhism, to me that's much more impressive than science. And yet, so many people are impressed by science. Even people who study Dharma get impressed by science. I think because science has gone to the moon and they can do all sorts of amazing things, so people naturally feel very impressed that science must be really the best, but not that you compare with the Buddhist knowledge.
But science cannot study Nama.
They think they can.
Yeah, you know, it can't study Nama.
Okay.
What's the question again, please?
The question is, if the mind is Nama and not Rupa, then what is the purpose of the brain?
Okay. What is the mind? What is mind?
That which experiences.
Pardon?
That which experiences.
Okay. Is there mind now? Mm-hmm. Okay. And what else? Let's go on, word by word.
If the mind is Nama.
What is Nama?
That which can experience.
That's the question, understand? The mind?
I think the person who asked the question
is... No matter how we talk about it, that person does not understand the mind yet.
Right.
So it's useless, because... it's only his own thoughts about mind and brain, mind and brain.
But it seems so common these days because of science. I think people think it must be that way.
Anyone who hasn't heard the teachings of the Buddha think that scientist is the best, the knower.
Yes.
But actually, he's not the Buddha. So it's impossible. For anything he talk about is Dhamma, but it's only thinking, his own thoughts. For example, the mind and the brain, no understanding. For many people, they think that the brain is the mind.
Yes.
Because they're just following what they've been told. But I really appreciate what you explained before, Robert. That was really helpful.
Thank you.
Yeah, I really like the way you put it together. Yeah.
Can any word compare to the teachings?
Not at all, Ajahn. And I, just listening to you earlier today, I think, oh dear me, oh my God, you know, it's just amazing listening to you, Ajahn.
So, Dhamma is amazing.
Sorry?
Yeah,
Dhamma is amazing, yes, indeed. I mean, the subtlety of it, the profundity of it, the awesomeness of it, the amazingness of it, it is amazing. And it's a real gift to be able to listen to and consider it carefully that enables understanding to grow. And I think there was a question you mentioned before, Azita, there about people saying that they wonder where, you know, I'm just wondering where you know, if it's the original teachings, you know, what was the original teachings? You made a point earlier on there.
Yeah, people wonder why, which is the original one,
yeah,
and which
that's
is
right.
Later.
Yeah, look, I've even heard people say that unless you can prove to me that the Buddha existed, then I'm not really interested.
No, it wasn't that. It
no,
was...
No, okay, you go.
The person I'm thinking of said that we should only study the original teachings, none of the things that came after, like commentaries and Abhidhamma and Vasuddhimagga. And it should only be the original teachings, but...
So please talk about...
Well, I don't know. I mean...
That person who said that he would like to study only the original...
I guess
what is that?
Yeah, what does he mean by the original teachings?
The original, well, his belief is that it's
original.
I guess what I would like to say to that is that people have this idea about, I mean, when we consider, when we hear the truth and we can apply it, and we don't have to, and for me, I don't have to say, well, who said that? I consider it. Is that true or not? Is it helpful or not? Does that make sense? Does that add up? I don't think, oh, is that, who said that? And I don't have to hear that. And so I'm sometimes quite interested and intrigued and almost amazed that people seem to need to know who said it before they can believe it. They don't apply it, what they've heard. And that's the same with anything in life. You know, we don't need to have it proved to us, or we know that it's true. That's always the measure of what is valuable and what is not valuable. You know, we just, does that add up? And the Buddha would say, it said this many, many times.
Well, Anya knows it's true or not. That's,
well, ultimately, of course. But even before Panya is developing, perhaps when we're learning things at school or wherever, at college, at university, and we will consider carefully if that's true.
Yes,
in view of
exactly.
What...
Sure, anyway.
Yeah, that's right. Well, that's how I believe understanding at different levels grows. And the more, if we're fortunate enough to hear about the Dhamma, we will use those same skills that we've heard earlier on and think, that's true, that adds up. And of course the Buddha encouraged people to, what do you think, O Kalamas?
Yes. He encouraged, says, ehi pasiko, you know, investigate it, figure it out.
Yeah, well, he's, that's slightly different, I think, but he said, you know, what do you think, O Kalamas? He used that counter-questioning. What do you think? Does that add up? He always said that. So, I mean, I think it's... I was interested, Zita, when you mentioned that, because I did read that myself. This fellow was saying about the Atikatas and commentaries and other things, and I thought, oh, dear me. I didn't think that. Dear me. What? That's a strange thing to say. You know, it should be always you consider, is it valuable? Is it not? Does it add up? And you don't have... for me, I'm not overly concerned if it's the Buddha or anybody else in a way. I think, oh, does that add up? And of course, as someone who's interested in the Dhamma, the more I hear the Dhamma and consider it, and consider what the Buddha said in different situations, I think, oh, that makes sense to me. But a lot of it, you know, like I'm listening to a jhana this morning, I think, oh my God, that's amazing. And of course, much of that just goes over the top of me. But I know in time, as the jhana always encourages, keep on listening, keep on considering carefully, keep on being patient. And then one day, when there are the right conditions, understanding will grow even more.
Can we say that anyone speaks that they don't understand at all? From birth, death.
I'm sorry, John.
Can we say that everyone, you'd say, speak about that which they don't understand at all, from birth to death?
Mm-hmm.
For example, tooth, table, hearing, and so on, they don't understand at all.
Mm-hmm.
But they speak about this from birth to death, no matter brain or mind or what.
So I'm not quite. I want to understand this, Ajahn. So
before hearing the teachings, before understanding what is now,
yes.
No one understands. So they just speak about that which they don't understand at all, from birth to death.
Just conventional things.
Everything.
Everything.
For example, mind, brain, Scientist?
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. So talking about concepts and reality. Then,
they don't know that it's concept at all. Don't know anything at all. They're in darkness. Yeah.
That's true. That's another really valuable point, Ajahn, that this aspect of concept and reality is blurred. It's not clearly identified, or even, well, as you were saying, they don't know which is which. They don't even know if there is the other. And I think the point, and I'll say it again because you talked about it once, that without those paramattha dhammas, there couldn't be the conventional dhammas. There has to be the ultimate realities to enable this world that we know of people and things, but we think that is the real thing.
Yeah. Yeah. And that is that one of the steps on the path is starting to distinguish between concept and reality, would you say?
Because we live in the world of concept.
Normally.
And don't know that it's concept. Not
true.
Knowing anything at all.
No, it's true. So that's right. I'd never considered that before. So there's not even the idea that there's concept, that they're just concepts.
Yeah.
So they take them for real. They're not understood that they are only just concepts.
Right. Sometimes people get a bit confused, like talking about the table is just a concept, and the actual kalapas there are just arising and passing away instantly. But so when we say it's concept, it doesn't mean there's nothing. It means the realities are anicca. It means there's dharma there, there's elements. So concept is not real, but it doesn't mean there's nothing. The table is not real, but it doesn't mean that there's nothing. There is actually elements.
There are realities.
Just that they're very impermanent.
Yeah, and they mostly remain unknown. They're very obscure, and they, for people who haven't heard the Dhamma, they'll always remain unknown because they're on that level of the conceptual world, which they think that's the only world.
Yeah, but yet everyone is experiencing all the time realities. Everyone's experiencing colour, everyone's experiencing sound, everyone's experiencing hardness, everyone's experiencing vedana and citta. It's experienced, but it's just not understood, right? Yeah, it's there.
Well, not even known, really.
It's known. I mean, people know when they have painful feeling, but it's not understood. People experience it, sure, but they don't understand it.
And it's me, always.
Well, exactly. Yeah. Because of that, it's me.
Or five khandhas.
Even the word dhamma, one word. Not all of the things together, that dhamma, just the ish dhamma.
Yeah, same
one. We like to talk about the dhamma, paramattha dhamma.
Yeah, yeah.
We talk about the citta, cetasika, and rupa.
Yes.
And nivara, okay? When we talk about the dhamma, what it is, the pedamma anatta, that we heard from the Buddha. That's the point. You see, we didn't hear that, but we're thinking with sanya, we're thinking it's memory. We didn't hear it. We live in a culture, we live in a world of thinking, right? In each culture. But not listen to what we call the satya, or the word of the Buddha. The Dhamma, only one word, the Dhamma.
No, not a question, but this person who asked this question appreciate that you addressed his question.
Instead, by listening to that, and we talk about mind and brain, let's see what they understand. Let us try to think what they understand about mind and brain. If I'm saying to you, too many minds, what would you understand by that? Too many minds.
Avijja.
Avijja. No, too many mind. I think they understand. What they understand is that it's their thinking. You're thinking too much, thinking about that and this and that. That's too many mind. That's what they understand.
Yeah.
That's what they mean by mind and brain.
Yeah, quite often I hear people say this, you know, it's not uncommon for people talk about, oh, you're thinking too much, as if that's a problem. We need to consider carefully, there's not a problem about, thinking is not the problem, it's ignorance is the problem. And I have often heard people say, oh, you're thinking too much, as if, you know, you can stop thinking. You can't stop thinking.
No.
That will continue when there are other conditions.
Yeah.
And there are other conditions where, as being born as humans or in any world except the Sanyasatta plane, there is still thinking going on. So I always think it's an unusual thing for people to say. It's an unhelpful thing. And I think it's a foolish thing to say, in a way, because it's very dismissive. It's again what Ajahn would mind. It's telling people what to do.
Yeah.
Don't think. Now that's foolish to me, because it doesn't make any sense.
Yeah.
But it's quite a common thing I hear people say. Not uncommon, shall I say. I hear people say, you know, you're thinking too much. I'm thinking, oh dear me, that's so unhelpful.
What I mean, when they say too many mind is not thinking too much, that means that your mind are concentrating in several different things. Different things.
Well, we know too
that you are not concentrated.
Yeah, well, that's right. Well, we know too that there's only one object at one particular time. There's only one particular moment at each time.
Yeah.
So to say that you're thinking of too many things, it's a very confused statement about reality.
Yeah,
and
yeah,
that person doesn't appreciate or understand,
yes,
Dhamma.
This we
view.
Understand because we study Dhamma, we understand this, but
yeah,
they don't understand.
No, that's right.
Yeah.
And they usually often believe their own ignorance.
Yeah.
They believe what they're saying to be true, because they've heard it from somebody else, and they haven't been fortunate enough,
yeah,
in my view, to meet wise people who help them to understand that there is only one reality at a time anyway.
Yes.
So it just creates more and more confusion with them and with the people they're with.
Yeah.
It doesn't help them to, as Ajahn always reminds us, about the reality that appears. And there always are realities appearing, even if you're, inverted commas, thinking too much. There are always realities.
Yeah.
So it's not very helpful.
Yeah, thank you.
Is the Vitika Jetasika with Bhavanga Jitta?
Again, please.
Is the Vitika Jetasika with
Oh,
Vitaka. Vitaka.
Vitaka.
With Bhavanga Jitta.
Only how many jittas do not have Vitaka?
Well, I think it's only the five senses.
How many jittas?
Well, ten.
Ten. That's all.
That's all. Okay.
Yeah.
Sure.
Never change.
Just a wild question. What about sleep? How many hours sleep should we be aiming for? Just, you know, I know that the Buddha taught sleep for 2 hours or 4 hours or something.
Yeah.
1 hour.
Right.
Can you count the number of citta?
It's pretty hard.
You just think about it.
Yeah.
You cannot know exactly how many cittas while one is asleep.
But how many hours, just in a conceptual way?
From moment to moment, how many jittas in an hour?
Oh, so many.
See.
So that's enough, 1 hour then.
That's why we talk about the morning and the noon and the evening.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or the three watches.
Yes.
Only that, 4 hours of each.
Right.
But we don't know how long we slept. at all. Uncountable moments like now, uncountable. We just talk about 1 second,
yes,
or split seconds,
yes,
but how many chittas and chetasikas?
But nevertheless, it never seems enough to me to sleep.
Also, time is a concept. It's not a reality.
Yes, time is a concept. However, chittas arise in a series.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So, there is past.
But when you... I'm sorry.
Present and future.
But if you measure the intervals, I guess, between chittas arising or whatever and falling away, measuring them is merely a concept. In other words, we can say, for instance, it takes a half of a nanosecond for this to happen or for that to happen. That's a concept because we're measuring it. There's no real time between this or that. It's just that we want to say, oh, it takes a half a second, a half a nanosecond. We make that up. We make these measuring tools up. They're just concepts, because time itself or the interval between this or that happening is just it's not because we want to know how long it takes. It's not a reality.
That's why Buddha talked just about one moment of citta.
Mm-hmm. But he also talked about past and future too.
Yes, morning and noon.
Yes.
The sun is up there, right on your head.
Right.
Yeah, only then. Because if nothing arises, can there be time?
No.
That is Nibbana, Kala Vimutti.
Timeless.
Yes, Kala Vimutti.
Okay, so we've discussed time. I what about space? Jitters arise and fall away so rapidly. One arises, falls away, followed by the next one. Jutti jitta arises, falls away very quickly, instantly followed by patisanti jitta. I don't know how to... But how... And then it arises... Probably in another realm, we don't know.
Depending.
How does it go?
Depending on conditions.
It's like, I guess it's because I have this concept of space. You know, something is far, far away. Chitta getting from.
But chitta is not matter.
Chitta is not matter. It's boundless. Chitta is physical.
No, jitta's not physical.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm thinking of rupa. Rupa is physical, but jitta's don't. There's no such thing as time and space according to a jitta
arising. Where there's no such thing as time and space. That's except they talk about the space between rupas. That's something else.
To say that just interesting in the Pavanga Chitta. When we talk Jutti Chitta, Patisanti Chitta, and then Pavanga Chitta, and then Jutti. Another word is Patisanti Chitta, Pavanga Chitta, Vitti Chitta.
Mm-hmm.
And between that is the Pavanga Chitta.
Mm-hmm.
And then what? You see?
Very impersonal.
And what is a Pavanga Chitta? Another word. It's not sleep. What is a Pavanga Chitta?
Pavanga Chitta is the life continuum.
It's a maintained life.
That is not enough. That is not enough.
And not enough explanation.
More. Is there Pavanga now?
Yes.
Why do you say and know that it's Pavanga?
Because I've learned that. I don't know for sure, but that's what I've learned.
So what is the difference between Pavanga and other citta?
Well, Pavanga citta...
The object
is something that's not known. The object of Bhavanga Jitta is not known.
Why? It's not known.
Because it doesn't appear.
Why it does not appear? Where does it not appear?
Where does it not appear? What it would appear to, it could appear to Panya if Panya was deeply enough, or it must have, Buddha knew Bhavanga Jitta, so it must have appeared to Buddha.
To the does Buddha. It have object?
It has an object.
What is its object?
No idea.
Past the object.
Past object.
Past the last chitta of the past life. The duty chitta.
That's why it cannot be known.
Mm.
Because what can be known is only the object of this world through eyes, ears, nose, tongue, body and mind. That's all.
Yes, of course. Yes.
What about those yogis that can know their past lives though, Ajahn?
Yes. But he is not Sariputta and others. Much more wisdom. Could he know anyone's mind?
Who?
The Buddha.
Of course.
See, and the others. Yes. It's impossible to say that Vajjita is there, see, at all.
Well, other great monks could know too. They could know someone's mind too, right?
By conditions, yes. Right conditions.
Even Aniruddha even knew the Buddha's mind.
Yes.
By conditions.
Yeah, yeah. Amazing. Yeah.
The foremost in that.
Right.
If we think about now, there is Kaya Vinyati. What's the use? What's the benefit?
Well, it's if we're moving and so on, we know it's not self that's moving. It's just this.
The best thing is it can be conditions for more and clearer understanding of now, the object now. Because at that moment there is thinking, which no one thinks about it, as thinking is not self.
Why do you say that? What do you mean?
Because at that moment it's I who just want to know, to understand.
Oh, when we're thinking about Kaya Vinyati, mm-hmm. And we're not aware of the thinking as just being an atom. Yeah.
Even now, who knows the sanya, see?
Mm-hmm.
Objects of clinging, the five khandhas.
Mm-hmm.
It has to be known before they can be conditioned to directly experience the truth.
Mm. I mean, that brings up a good question. I mean, Vedana seems reasonably clear.
Yeah, all five.
But Chitta and Sanya, we know they're appearing also, but the difference between, say, Chitta and Sanya doesn't seem so obvious to me.
That's why there's the word Sappa, Sappa Prinya, Sappa Prinya.
Mm-hmm.
Because when there is the direct understanding of the truth, but the Veda, it brings about that which has had experienced. So it must be daily life. So the conditions apply this at any moment when there are conditions to know and to think about the truth which has appeared. So the more one knows that sanya now is what, at what moment, with sanya there is thinking about this and that. But no one thinks about sanya, just think about the story. So that is not sabba prinya until that which has been known from direct experience can be conditioned to understand this moment, no matter it is rupa or vedana or sanya, sankhara and vinyana, before another higher level which will be conditioned again, another kind of prinya, see, because there are three kinds of prinya.
So,
Yata Prinya, Tirana Prinya, and Pahana Prinya. How come from the Vipassana Jnana? Different level.
So does this mean the theory we're learning now, even though it's not understood, it's going to support later?
Without this, how can there be the understanding with awareness directly of this or anything around. And that is sabba prinya. Without it, it's impossible to gain more and more understanding of daily life. That's why it has to be daily life, because so, dhammas are daily life.
So kaya vinyati is very daily life.
It depends. Don't hope or wish for any particular one at all. That it means that you understand better about anatta. No expectation.
How do you translate that word, ajahn sabba? Is that sabba like everything or all
right,
complete?
Right. That's why it has to apply to everything in daily life. Which now, if there's none, it has to build up, accumulate it, until it becomes true by different levels of vipassana jnana. From the first to the second and the third, it needs more and more sapa prinya. Nothing is left to be object of doubt or self, or wrong practice, which is not the Eightfold Path. Anattaness. And sanya is there. What appears, sanya is there. The difference between this moment and that moment, sanya remembers or marks instantly. No room for I or self when it is sapa parinya, little by little, until it's sharper, deeper.
Thanachan, when in vipassana yad, that means panya can see in the darkness clearly. It's just like we are dreaming or not. When we dream, we can see a picture clearly.
Not clear at all in the dream.
Not clear
at
all.
Not as clear as now.
Not as clear as now.
That's why we know the difference.
But when in vipassana yad,
it cannot be like a dream.
It cannot be like a dream. But panya can see in the darkness clearly. So what
panya,
what kind of,
no matter where it arises, it knows and understands better and better, sharper and sharper, by conditions only.
I see. Thank you.
That's why without the pariyati, then it can never be patipati. And without patipati, correctly, more and more, there cannot be pativeta. Just one moment of awareness is not enough. It's like just one word of pariyati is not enough. 45 years he taught.
And pariyati is panya, isn't it? Pariyati is panya. Pariyati has to be panya, otherwise what else is it?
So what is pariyati?
Well, it has to be
all panya, different levels.
It's a low
panya at level of understanding the words about the
words,
the truth.
Yes, but it's not yet seeing realities.
Direct understanding of whatever appears by conditions.
By conditions
is the most important,
yeah.
To measure that you have less and less idea of to control or to be I or expectation. Beyond imagination. That now is sankhara khanda. Each moment of understanding is conditions for other moment. By its way, no one can do anything.
That's a really important reminder that no one can do anything, because all the time this trying. But when there's the occasional, well, really no one can do anything. Because all of the, there's nothing that can be controlled in any of the arising. There's nobody can make it arise
and
or make it fall away.
And if panya hasn't arisen yet, what can eradicate the wrong understanding that I can do?
Well, only panya can eradicate.
More study.
More, yeah.
Mm-hmm. at moment of understanding, it let go. Very, very little avijja. But only that moment can be conditioned for more and more understanding. Against the current of avijja and lobha. So it takes long, long time for parami. And that's the way to have less and less clinging and wishing and expecting. It can be now, unexpected, by conditions only.
Very funny, Tan Ajahn. The lopa is our second friend, and we are working, try to get rid of lopa. Very difficult.
Dearest friend.
The best friend, not second
best friend. The best friend. It's always, wherever you go, lopa go with you. Yeah? And then, now we are working and try to understand to get rid of lopa.
And dosing.
Though I think Kun Tzu Kin would often say it's an enemy in disguise.
Yes.
It's an enemy in disguise.
That's right. That's right.
Yes.
And very like a magic. You never know that they are follow you all the time. You never know.
That's right. There's a very graphic sutta. It's called the simile of the snakes.
The snakes,
yeah. And the Buddha talked about what's called the Gamagataka Chora, talked about the objects, the ayatana, what is experienced, are really like they are assaulting us all the time. We take them as friends, but they're really assaulting us, and we don't see the danger of that. It's a very graphic sutta about the world of the senses and how they're really, even the pleasant objects, the pleasant objects are assaulting and assailing us because we misunderstand them and we have attachment, which causes more and more problems. But of course, it's not to have aversion towards these. You know, when we hear read a sutta, of course, it's not wise to have aversion towards this, but it's to help to develop a keener understanding of the realities that appear, rather than have aversion towards them.
Okay.
Yeah. This is the last question.
The same question?
No. This is from Will. He asked, "What is the word prinya?" I think he wants to know the meaning of the word prinya or sapaprinya.
It's panya. Different level.
Who is the Christian?
Wilhelm. Wilhelm, yes. Yeah, Wilhelm, he's listening in German, in Switzerland. He came here.
I see. Now he's in Swiss? Yes. In Switzerland.